are now tuned in to Shotgun Sports USA, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world, your host Justin Barker talks to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, championship-winning coaches, gun clubs, world-class target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. If you're into clay target sports, you're at the right place for insider information from some of the best in the world every single week. Subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
Being a brand name in the clay target industry, Rick Hemingway has said, "Have you ever noticed almost all major sporting events are being run by Pro-Matic traps?" I thought about that statement, and he's right. And you may want to consider that before making your next purchase. Rick is the largest Pro-Matic dealer specializing in individual and commercial trap sales. Rick provides skeet, trap, five-stand, and sporting clays designs, installs, and service. He also offers accessories such as solar panels, wireless release systems, as well as the hottest item on the market, the ClayBot by Rainier Products. Visit BackwoodsQuailClub.com or give Rick a call at 843-546-1466. Castellani Shooting Vests are manufactured in Italy and internationally recognized by elite shooters as the most popular, lightweight shooting vest on the market. Castellani Vests are especially known for their Italian styling and superior craftsmanship and quality, making them a vest of choice for all shooting disciplines. Ultimate Shooting Accessories is the exclusive supplier for Castellani Vests in the United States. Visit UltimateShootingAccessories.com for more information and to place your order. He is an NSCA All-American, a FITASC World Champion, a World All-Around Champion, an NSCA National Champion, and an Olympian in men's trap. Please welcome Derek Mine. All right, Derek, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. It's been a while since I've talked to you. What you been up to?
Been busy.
Yeah.
Had a busy couple of years since the last time we talked.
It is. And I'll tell you something. We're in Kansas right now, and it's hot.
It is. It's almost Georgia hot.
Yeah. I think I'm going to pass out when I walk out of this trailer. I have been sweating constantly since I've been here. I didn't think it was going to be like this here.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had a lot of rain the last 3.5 weeks, almost like 12, 13 inches.
Right.
And when we get in the upper 80s, that's our worst humidity. And when it's been raining, we're in the mid, you know, it is just as humid as Georgia or Houston right now.
I mean, it is absolutely crazy. All right, so we're going to get into the big topic, and that's the Olympics. They were called off last year, and you're scheduled to go again this year, right?
Yes.
So are you going to be able to travel?
Absolutely.
All right, so you're going.
We were fortunate. We were able to work in going to the World Cup at Lenato, Italy, last month. So that kind of helped bring the reality of being on the Olympic team back to the forefront.
All right, so tell me about that shoot. What was that about?
Yeah, so that was one of the ISSF World Cups. Okay. They had five of them on the schedule this year.
Okay.
We didn't go to the first two. The third one got canceled. It was supposed to be in Korea. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't waive the quarantine period, so they canceled that one. We went to Italy. And Lenato, Italy is Europe's equivalent to the Grand American Trap Shoot.
Okay.
Like, it's that kind of facility. You know, they've got 13 bunkers on the property, and they've got all their sponsor vendor buildings and stuff. It's just as impressive as the World Recreational Shooting Facility there in Illinois or the National Shooting Complex.
Is that a team event? Is that what that is?
So there was a team event aspect. Okay. That was combined with the individual.
Okay.
I shot all right in the individual. I missed a couple last targets and a first target, and end up missing the shoot off for the final by one. My first two rounds, I missed the last target of each of those rounds. So that kind of hurts. And then my fourth round, which was the first round of the second day, I missed my first target out.
Yeah. I know by watching you how you shoot and how serious you are about it, that hasn't bothered you.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, that's the nature of that game. You get zero warm-up. You don't get to go shoot shots. You get one set of test fires before you start shooting your first round. There is no practice field. You don't get to go warm up. It's all about stepping on the field, being ready to perform.
So when you do that, not being able to shoot the gun like you maybe want to, how does that make you feel? I mean, does it give you kind of the jitters?
Oh, it's a lot of anxiety. You know, you step up there and
I'm sure,
you know, even though you know 100% your equipment's not going to fail you, it's always in the back of your head. Well, you know, how's my gun going to work today?
Yeah. But, I don't know how that would not give you the jitters.
Yeah. You know, you don't know how you're going to see the target. You don't know how you're going to react to it. You know, at least like when you're shooting sporting clays, you can go shoot a warm up five stand or a make or break or go out on the practice course and shoot even 10 shots at targets and see how your eyes are seeing the targets that day.
Yeah.
When you're shooting the Olympic stuff, it's, you know, the first squad out in the morning gets to view each of the machines, before they start their round, but that's it. You get a view targets standing 30 yards behind the line.
Talk about how this works. Okay. Cause I've never shot bunker. Just tell me how it works. The yard lines and how they come out and all that stuff.
So the shooting position is 15 meters from the front lip of the bunker where the target comes out.
Okay.
Each shooting position has three machines. There's five shooting positions plus a walker. So you have six people on the squad.
Okay.
You know, over the course of a round of 25 targets, you're going to get two lefts, one straightaway, and two rights off of each shooting position.
Okay.
You don't know what order you're getting them in. So if you're, you know, like Glenn Eller or some of the other Army guys that are shooting every day and have developed a way to kind of keep track, you can a lot of times know at least your last five, a lot of times seven of your last 10 can be a big advantage. Me, I don't live close enough to a bunker, so I don't get to shoot enough to practice that. So I'm more or less just going out there expecting one of those three targets every time I call pull.
The last one of the – so you shoot five at every stand?
Yeah.
So the last one, you may know what it is. Well, you've already shot the other four.
Yeah, but you shoot a target and rotate. So it's a constant movement.
Ah.
You don't just stand on a post. And, you know, if you stood on one post and shot all five targets, then, yeah, you're probably going to know – your last one, if not your last two.
Yeah.
But because it's a constant rotation, you don't just get to sit there and think about that post. You got to think about all five.
Yeah. So it's a little mind game.
It's a lot of mind
game. So is it possible that the Olympics could be called off again?
Yeah, there's probably always that possibility. The nature of the world today, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But from what I'm hearing is it's 100% a go. Unless something major comes up, but I'm pretty confident that the games are going to go off. I've already got my plane ticket to go.
Yeah.
So
what dates are, is this?
Opening ceremonies, July 23rd.
Close.
Yeah. We're getting, you know, a month and a half out. So it's getting real.
Yeah.
I think Skeet shoots first. They start shooting the day after opening ceremonies. And then my first day of competition is the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second day is the 29th. And then I'll have a day off before I shoot the mixed team with my partner, Kaylee Browning.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be my partner for the mixed team event. We'll shoot that on the 31st.
And then you come home with a gold medal.
Yeah, hopefully two of them.
Yeah, two of them, team and individual.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what preparations are you having to make to be able to go? Are you having to get tested for anything, or you having to?
Yeah, so we've got to have two negative tests from a certified testing facility. The first one has to be 96 hours before departure. The second one has to be 72 hours before departure. And there's not a very big window there that they're giving you leniency.
Right.
So you pretty much got to be 4 days before you leave and 3 days before you leave, you got to test negative. And then I think we have to test negative when we land. And then I think they're testing every other day or every third day when we're in the Olympic Village.
So there's no quarantine time there as long as you keep testing negative.
Yep. Yeah, okay. There is no quarantine. The only thing that they're giving you, like I went and got vaccinated.
Yeah.
One of the things they're doing, if you are vaccinated, it's not an automatic disqualification if you come close contact with someone who tests positive.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the vaccine and you're deemed to have been close contact with someone that tests positive, then you have to, you're pulled out and you're SOL.
So you're going to stay in your room the whole time?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh. Your wife and kid going?
No, they're unfortunately they're not letting anyone from outside the U.S. or outside of Japan into as spectators.
Really?
Athletes and coaches is it. You know, very little support staff. I imagine we'll have some kind of medical staff with the U.S. team, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. But as far as some of your normal support staff that would go, like Thaddeus was all set to come, and he was going to get a photograph the Olympics for the first time, and that's a big item on his bucket list, but
right.
He's not even going to get a go. He can't get any media press passes or anything.
Now, you're talking about Thaddeus.
Yeah.
He's a great photographer.
Yep.
Now, isn't he following your career, so to speak?
Yeah. So he,
for your trail to the Olympics?
He, after the first half of the trials in 2019, I was talking to him at the National Sporting Clays, and he goes, "Hey, what do you think about doing a documentary on your road to the Olympics?" I'm like, "Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, I don't want to jump the gun before I make the team." But I was like, you know, that'd be a big part of the story. So I was like, you know what, let's go ahead and do it. And so he came out to Tucson, was there the whole time for the trials, mm-hmm. the second half of the trials. And he's gone just about everywhere I've been since I made the team. And I think I haven't seen anything he's putting together yet. I don't know if he's edited the video yet or not. But I think there's going to be a lot of good come out of it.
But not being able to go to the main, to the grand finale.
Yeah. You
know, that's kind of.
Yeah. So
he puts a dent in it.
You know, I'm either going to use my phone or give me a camera or something so I can get some video footage for my own use.
Yeah.
But, it kind of sucks that he can't go.
Yeah. Oh, I'd want him there too, for sure, to finish it out.
Yeah.
So as long as it's been, you know, no, we're not going, now we're going, has it taken the excitement out of it at all?
It did at first. You know, when they first came out and postponed the games and they didn't give us a rescheduled date,
mm-hmm.
I was pretty disappointed. I was like, oh, man, it's not going to happen. Work this hard and get it taken away. But actually, when they went ahead and rescheduled them for a year later, it was actually kind of refreshing for me. I was able to put the gun in the safe and shut down for 2 months.
Yeah.
And completely reset my brain. I think that had a lot to do with my last year of being so successful. You know, I think I won 5 of the 8 sporting tournaments I went to.
Yeah.
So, you know, being able to take that time off really rejuvenated me and help reset things.
And if it don't happen this year, then it's over.
Yeah. You know, there's no room to postpone again, because next year, 2022 is the Winter Olympics. They're not going to have... They tried having the Summer and Winter Olympics in the same year, and that was an epic fail.
Right.
So they're not going to do that. The only way they could potentially reschedule for like 2032, but I would not be a part of that. It would be a completely new Olympic Games.
So if that happens, which we hope it doesn't, you're going to have to requalify and do it all over again.
Yeah. When it comes time for Paris in 2024, it's a whole new deal.
Are you going to try to do that one also?
As of right now, the plan is to go ahead and pursue a second Olympics.
I don't blame you. That'd be good. You took Bunker Trap on later in life, from what I understand. What got you into that?
So the first time I ever saw a Bunker Target, I was a freshman in high school. It was 2000, right ahead of the Sydney, Australia Olympics.
Okay.
And Dad goes, "Hey, you know, I was talking to someone. They said they've got shooting in the Olympics." He's like, they've got this, they call it a PTO match, just mm-hmm. a little fun shoot out at the Olympic Training Center. It's like, why don't we go? So I went out there, I shot skeet, and I also shot bunker. I had broke like 47 in my first 50 shooting skeet.
Really?
And then the national coach at the time started telling me everything I was doing wrong.
You probably could have beat him.
I finished like 15th or something. I didn't even break over 35 in the next 50.
Oh, really?
But, you know, I was 14 years old.
Right,
so,
right.
But that was kind of my intro to everything. And then I didn't ever shoot any of it again until I got to college. I was at Lindenwood for a couple of years. I shot bunker there. Did okay. And then in 07, the start of the 08 Olympic trials, I finished fourth in the first half and then didn't shoot that great on the second half of the trials and end up missing the finals by one. I can't remember how far I was out of second at that time, but I know I missed the final by one. But I wasn't really dedicating anything to it. I went and practiced one weekend about 3 weeks before the match, and that was all the practice I had between the two. You know, I don't think I realized the gravity of the situation and what was at stake. But I was also still in college, just graduating, getting ready to graduate college, and it was a different point in life. And then I didn't shoot again, took a couple years off from shooting the Olympic stuff after that. And when I was actually at the Cardinal Center, I shot a selection match and made the team to go to Australia for a World Cup. Shot terrible. And again, I was in one of those places where I wasn't dedicating myself to being a true professional shooter.
Right.
You know, it was all about, I can do this because it's fun and it's something different. About 4 years ago, I started talking with my wife and said, you know, I was close before and I've done a lot in sporting clays and, you know, I've always looked at like what Richard Fald's accomplished. Mm-hmm. You know, he's multi-time world champion and he's got an Olympic gold medal.
Right.
And there's nobody else on the planet that can claim what he can claim.
That's correct.
And so I was like, you know what? Maybe it's time that I really give it a good, honest effort, work at it and see if I can't do it. And, it ended up, I knew it'd be a lot of work, but it's been way more stressful than I ever could have imagined.
Are you kind of ready for it to be over?
In a way I am. Yeah. You know, the games are coming up quick.
Yep.
And right now I've got the anxiety of, oh, I'm not really ready. You know, I shot good in Italy, but not good enough to be ready for the Olympics. So I've still got some work to do. So that I've got that anxiety of wondering if I'm going to have enough time to get ready. But at the same time, that whole extra year of basically extra stress of trying to be ready for the Olympic Games is it'll be nice when it's over and I can actually kind of take a breath and relax a little.
So basically, what is it, a little month and a half?
Yeah.
All right. So what are you going to do as far as practicing? Is this going to be, we're at the U.S. Open right now. Yeah. So is this going to be your last sporting event?
So I'm actually going to shoot the Kansas State shoot in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Just so happens that the schedule's going to work out. I'm going to be at home. Mm-hmm. It's at the club that's closest to where I live now.
Okay.
So it's just going to be one of those convenience deals.
Right.
The couple of days before that, I'm actually going to go to Hillsdale and help out. They're having a junior Olympic camp for the kids. I'm going to go up and get a couple days training, probably maybe do a little bit of coaching with the kids up there. More about just being there and being present and getting some training on my own end. And then I'll get home, shoot the state shoot. And then the day after that, I'm going to go out to Colorado for a week and spend that working with Lance Bade, who's been really the only person I've ever called a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been incredible. You know, he's the last American to win a medal in men's trap.
When was that?
Atlanta in 96.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, he lost a shoot off with Josh Lakatos for the silver. So Lance got the bronze.
Wow.
But you know, that was back in American trap shooting heyday when we had as good a team as anybody in the world.
So you're going to shoot 1 week in out there.
Yeah.
And then you're pretty much done practicing?
Well, I'll get home from there and then they're going to let me come and shoot alongside the kids at the Junior Olympic is up at Hillsdale there over the 4th of July. They've got the match for the kids and they're going to let me come shoot along with them. Mm-hmm. So I can at least kind of shoot in a competitive environment. Mm-hmm. But then after that, it's going to pretty much be sitting at home, resting up, spending time with family.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, we only got 6 weeks, and that's four of them.
That's right. So someone that is a sporting shooter now and maybe wants to go into trap, bunker trap, what kind of transition is that? How hard is it to do that?
So bunker trap is without a doubt the hardest shotgun game on the planet. You know, just to go break one target, probably there's some other stuff that's harder. You know, shooting that 80-foot tower target is probably a harder individual shot. But once you got it, you got it. With bunker trap, there's so much randomness to it that it creates an anxiety and anticipation. You know, you can't help but sit there thinking, oh, am I getting a left? Am I getting a right? And all that stuff leads to little mistakes that I always tell people, bunker trap is the only game I can be 1% off and miss.
Mm-hmm.
Every other game, you can be sloppy and get away with 85, 90% in sporting and still break most of the targets.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of the harder targets you've got to be better than 90% on, but for most 90% of the targets, you can be 90% and break them.
Right.
In bunker trap, if you miss one little step in your routine, it scatterbrains you and you're lost.
What kind of routine do you have? When you shoot in sporting, you walk up in there and get you a plant or whatever, however you do it.
Right.
How is it with bunker?
So, you know, people that watch me shoot sporting, they kind of marvel at how fast I go.
Right.
You know, I don't take time.
Right.
And, you know, I put the shells in the gun, I close the gun, set up, call, pull. When I'm shooting bunker trap, I take 11 and a half of the allowed 12 seconds from the time the guy before me shoots till I call. And that's all about getting my gun mounted, being set right, and getting my eyes still and steady, being ready to see the target when it comes out. And
wow.
It feels like an eternity, but at the same time, it goes by really fast. It
takes a lot of concentration and thinking.
Yeah. You know, a round is going to take 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you figure you've got six shooters in the squad. The average for everybody's probably 9.5 to 10 seconds a target. So you're looking at a full 25 minutes of being on the field, really in the zone. And that is very mentally challenging, mentally fatiguing, and it wears on you.
For someone wanting to switch to that, is it easy to flip back and forth to it?
It is for me, from the standpoint of I've shot sporting for so long that it's like riding a bicycle. I can go out, shoot a couple hundred targets, practice, and I got most of my rhythm back. You know, I'm not perfect, but I at least feel like I'm in a spot where I can be competitive.
Yeah.
And if I'm shooting good in bunker, that means mentally I'm in a really good spot, and that means as much as anything for being competitive at sporting clays.
Yeah.
So going from trap to sporting clays, I'd say, is a lot easier for me than going sporting clays to trap.
Yeah.
But I've been able to kind of get some little routines and stuff worked out where I can get back in the right mindset for trap after a round or two. Because a lot of times you go to like the World Cup, we had 2 days that we could practice and we got 3 rounds each day before the match. So you're talking 150 targets and then it's match day.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to get it back in a hurry.
What, if you were new to this, what discipline would take more practice to get good?
Definitely to be at a world-class athlete level, your bunker's going to blow sporting clays away as far as how much work it takes. You know, I've put a lot of work into it in the last 4 years, and I'd say I'm still not anywhere close to the level I am in sporting clays.
Yeah.
You know, it's sporting clays is a game of how you can read stuff. And you've got time, so you don't have all the extra anxieties and anticipation and panic that comes along with a really fast target getting away from you.
You were talking about how fast you shoot in sporting. And I don't know that I've seen someone break some targets as fast as you. But, you know, we see the make or break shoot-offs. Is that just natural? I mean, is it – what's the deal with that?
Like, so, God bless me with eyes that focus very quickly.
Okay.
I can see a target pretty much come off the throwing plate, mm-hmm. and I don't get much of the streak that everyone talks about. You know, I understand what that streak is and how to use it, and I have to use that in trap because the targets are so fast. You know, I was very, very blessed with eyes that focus quickly, and I've got fairly fast hands to go along with it. I'd say what kind of pushed me as much to how I shoot now is growing up here in Kansas, the wind always blows. So if you wanted to shoot a straight target, you had to shoot it
fast.
You had to shoot it fast.
Yeah. I figured that would help you in trap, being able to move like that.
Yeah. It definitely doesn't hurt. That being said, I still work basically solely on slowing myself down in trap. Yeah. You know, I've worked for the last 10 years in sporting to slow myself down, and I'm continuously working at slowing down in trap, and I'm still not as slow as I need to be.
Yeah. Talk about the ammo ammo differences in the two.
Yeah. So in the Olympic events, you're allowed 24 grams a shot. You can use a little bit bigger shot, but you lose so many pellets that, you know, you're talking your first shot somewhere from maybe in that 30 to 35 yard range, and second shot's in the 40 to 45 yard range. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not like you're shooting 50, 60, 70 yard stuff. So the pellet size to me doesn't help you any in that game. Mm-hmm. I like to shoot eights, both barrels for the extra pellets, fill in the pattern as much as I can.
Yeah. And sporting,
I shoot a lot of eights.
But you're shooting federal.
Yes.
So yeah. Talk about the shot size and all that stuff.
So, I'm shooting the new federal paper, 1 ounce 1290. It's a shell that I feel like really is kind of perfect for an all around shell, whether you're shooting trap or sporting or even skeet. Mm-hmm. That's a shell that I've always shot a 1 ounce somewhere around 1300. And you know, when they came out with that shell, it just like hit perfect for what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So that's what you shoot at sporting for your task.
Yeah. Shoot it for everything.
Yeah.
My bunker load is a 24 gram. It's a little bit faster. It's about 1330, 1340, somewhere in there. You know, 24 gram, you can get away with a lot more speed. There's not much shot there to cause recoil.
Talk about the gun you're shooting. Everybody knows that you shoot a Kohler, but talk about what kind of gun it is, what kind of chokes you put in it to make the brakes like you want them.
Yeah. So I'm shooting the Max Light with a fixed ramp tapered rib. It's the ribs, I don't know, a quarter inch maybe of raise ramp on it. It's 32 inch. But I like the way the gun balances. All the weight's between your hands. So it's got the weight to keep that momentum moving on like long crossers and stuff. But it's light enough out front that when you need to shoot quick, it allows you to move the gun quickly and still be in control and in tune with the gun.
Yeah.
I'm using the Pure Gold Champion Series chokes. Bill and I came up with those a couple years ago when I started pursuing the Olympic stuff, because of regulations on where the porting can be in relation to the end of your muzzle.
Right.
And his traditional Diamond Series made that gap too big. So we chopped them off, put some holes in them.
So they're basically the same chokes, just shorter.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he might have tweaked the parallel section or something in them. All I know is that out of my gun, they hit targets hard.
Yeah.
And coupled with the Federals, there's nothing breaks targets any better in my mind.
What's the constrictions you shoot for sporting? Is it the same?
And then I shoot a lot of modified or improved modified at sporting.
Okay.
And when I'm shooting bunker, I'm shooting improved modified on the first shot and full on the second.
You got to get on out there and get it.
Yeah. You know, 24 grams, you don't get a fringe anyway. So why not focus everything and try and be perfect?
Yeah. Speaking of Kohler, aren't they coming out or out with a new shotgun?
Yeah.
Now?
So we've been working on a new, round body receiver.
Okay.
I believe they're going to call it the Select. They've got them here at the US Open. They've got a bunch of them for sale. They've got demos that you can come out and test run. It's taken a little, it kind of started, we're trying to develop a ladies gun. And so we're looking at ways to shed weight.
Oh, okay. So, this was the ladies gun.
Then. Yeah. So this is where it started. It was kind of as our ladies gun.
Okay.
And we rounded up that receiver and it's like, man, that feels good. We can't offer this just as a ladies gun. We've got to have it for everybody. So we've got the ladies set up, which is a flat rib, 30-inch barrel, got a stock design, you know, a little more drop at the heel, you know, the stuff that women need.
Right.
But then we also offer it with the new F1 stock, which is kind of similar to the stock that I'm shooting, just a little bit lower comb, and a little bit shorter. But, you know, that's something that we worked on and I picked them up and played with it. And, I can't wait to get mine so I can go shoot it.
Yeah. You going to change?
I think after the Olympics, I'm going to give it a try.
Good. How long have you had the gun you're shooting now?
This is my sixth season with the gun I've been
shooting. And nothing's changed on it.
Nothing's changed. I've used a couple different stocks. The gun's treated me really well. It all started in 2015. I got my gun 4 weeks before going to Dubai.
You won that shoot, didn't you?
Yeah.
We're kind of skipping around now, but how was that?
Yeah, that was a fun shoot, unlike anything you've ever seen. We're basically walking on a beach shooting targets, but there was no water anywhere.
So, from what I've been told, is that you went there. It was really they don't allow guns there.
No,
right?
they don't allow any guns. The guy that actually put on the shoot is an Olympic gold medalist himself.
Oh, okay.
He won double trap in 2000, I believe, 2000 or 2004.
That's pretty interesting.
He won, I think it was 2004, because I think Richard won in 2000 in Australia. So he put on the shoot. He had, and of course, he's part of the royal family there.
Right.
So he had access to all the military, police force, and all that stuff. And they basically met us at the airport, verified serial number on our gun, and took it and locked it in a safe at the range for us to check out every day to go shoot.
And you had to shoot their ammo, right?
Yes. Yep.
That's just neat. And it was a big payout. We don't have to get into that, but it was a huge payout.
Yeah. So,
all right. Castellani, they support the show.
Yeah.
Okay. They support you for sure.
Yes.
Ultimate Shooting Accessories. It seems like every time I see you have a different vest on.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about those guys for a second.
You know, they're great people. Not only are they great people, but they create a quality product. The thing that I love most about it is, say I have an issue with my vest, I can go grab one off the rack, put it on, and go shoot and feel like I'm not losing anything by having a vest that's not broken. Mm-hmm. Every vest that I've gotten, after 5 or 10 shots, I feel like it's molded back to my body and I don't have to worry about breaking a vest in.
Yeah. How important is that when you're shooting on the Olympic level?
It's huge. Yeah. Like for me, I have different vest standards that I have to meet for the ISSF and then another set of standards for the Olympics. So I basically have to have two different vests for that. And then I've got my vest that I put all my sponsors on for Sporting Clay. So I basically have three different vests that I've got to be able to switch back and forth all the time. And
what's the difference?
Just regulations on where you can put the markings. And like for the ISSF, I can have a couple sponsors on the back, I can have one on each pocket, and then I've got to have my USA stuff on there. For the Olympics, I get the American flag, my name on the back, and then on the front, I can have the US Olympic Committee's logo, my name, and the one manufacturer marking for the vest.
Wow.
That's all that I can have.
I guess it makes it more professional that way. I don't know.
You know, like they take it as far as the buttons on my Pila lenses. I have to go through and mark out all the logos on those, or they're going to put tape on them, because you're allowed one manufacturer marking on every piece of clothing that you wear. So like my shoes, if they've got more than one logo, they're going to mark them out.
That's odd.
So.
Just paint them all before you go over there.
Well, that's my plan. I'm going to take a permanent marker and start coloring away on my P-list.
So at least you can make them look like you wanted to look, you know?
Yeah.
Winning stocks. I know they're a big supporter of yours.
Yeah. You know, I've been shooting one of their stocks since, I think I got my first one in 2007. It's just been wonderful to work with. You know, anytime I've got issues, they're quick to get them taken care of. But I think they got as good a fit and finish as anybody in the country. They've got everyone in their shop is dedicated to performing one task with the stock. And so they become true professionals at that one task.
Yeah. Yeah. They've put out a nice product. I've seen them. I mean, they're here.
Yeah. You know, so. I mean, you know, they gotta be doing something right. 'Cause Kim Rhodes won 6 Olympic medals shooting a winning stock.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really? White Flyer. I know there's,
they're the American target. Yeah. You know, there's really no other choice in my mind. They're consistent all across the country. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to get. They fly good. They break good. Nowhere else in the world have I gone where you can get the soot ball like you get out of a good white flyer pitch target.
Makes you feel good.
Yeah. You know, it's incredible the breaks you can get, and nowhere overseas do we get anything like that.
They don't break like that?
You know, the international targets for bunker trap are a little bit harder. White flyer ones here, you can still soot ball them. You go overseas, you know, if you get 10, 15 pieces on a break, you've broke it really hard. So you don't get that dirt ball that makes you really feel good.
Yeah, that's different. I didn't know that. Yeah. Pro-Matic machines, great machines.
I've been working with them for over 20 years. I think Dad and I got our first Pro-Matic traps in like 98. Mm-hmm. And just been part of their family ever since. Yeah. And without them helping me with the equipment that I've got to train on, I don't think there's any way I'd be where I am.
Yeah.
You know, they bend over backwards to take care of you. Every shoot all across the country, you know, when they show up, you know, you're going to get a good set of machines, good set of targets.
Yeah.
You know, everything's going to work.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, L&M lenses is definitely a big one, Mike. But my wife, she's been a big supporter. She was kind of the one that kicked me in this direction of being a professional shooter, and really followed through and given me the support I need to be able to go out and perform.
And she's with you most all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And your little girl.
She's very fortunate that work allows her to travel. She mm-hmm. can work remotely, mm-hmm. so she gets to go about everywhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, hopefully we get to add a little more to this interview Sunday evening with me holding a trophy.
All right. So how many of these have you ever won a U.S. Open?
I have not won a U.S. Open.
All right. So you've won World Championship.
Yep. I won
Nationals twice.
Won Nationals twice. I think look back, I think I've won six regionals.
Six regionals. I thought you'd won more than that.
No, no. Bill's still Mr. Regional.
Is he?
All right. He's got eight or nine, I think.
And then you're a U.S. Open. What else do you want to win?
Definitely want to win a U.S. Open.
Right.
Olympic medals on that list now that I've made the team. That's a reality of going to the Olympics. So certainly want to win an Olympic medal. Gold would be fantastic. I think any Olympic medal would just be
sure.
You know, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I won the other World English Sporting Championship, the ICTSF one in Ireland. I'd really like to win the NSCA CPSA World English.
You won the feet task, right?
Yeah, I won the World Feet Task in Italy in 2016, and then I won the World All Around in 2018. You know, it's been fun. You know, like last year I went to the Grand, and for some reason I was able to put it together and ran the 200 singles championship. Then I go out and miss the first target out in the shoot off. And that ended up being like the shortest single shoot off in the history of the Grand American too.
And you were part of it.
And I was part of it. Missed the first one out. There were 32 or 200 straights, and it only took 175 targets to decide. The year before, it took over 600 to decide that shoot off.
That's unbelievable. You know, so when you're shooting these shoot offs and trap, is it just constant, like target after target after target?
Yeah. You sit there, you go out, you shoot 25. If you miss, you're done.
And then if you don't miss, you shoot another 25 and another 25.
Yep, you keep going. You know, and then I also went and shot the World Skeet Shoot and got really close to winning a World Championship in American Skeet. I finished runner-up in the 28 gauge. So.
Well, it sounds like there's plenty that you could do.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there. You know, everyone says, oh, you know, why you want to do all this? For me, I like going out. I like shooting. I like competing. Target in the air is something I want to break.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's trap, skeet, sporting, whatever it is. I enjoy competition. Mm-hmm. But I see a lot of the young kids coming up, and a lot of them get focused in on one discipline. And there's nothing wrong with shooting one discipline, but I'm certain there are kids like me that just want to shoot everything. Mm-hmm. And I want to go out there and show that, hey, you don't have to focus on one discipline. You can be good at all of them. Yeah. You know, you might not be great at all of them and win them all, but you can go out and be competitive and have a great time shooting everything.
Yeah. Are you going to slow down eventually?
I think I'm going to have to Riley she's starting school this fall.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of stuff that I don't want to miss.
Yeah.
So eventually there's going to be a slowdown coming. Yeah. We'll see, get through Tokyo, and then I'll probably sit down and take a harder look at what's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, I'm glad to do it.
And we look forward to. Where can everybody watch this? I don't know if you can watch it. Just keep up with it.
I'm pretty confident they're going to stream it live. Just don't know where.
I'm sure it's Facebook.
NBC Sports is covering everything.
Oh, okay.
So I would assume that it'd be some kind of production by NBC. Usually on the national broadcast that they do in the evenings, mm-hmm. they'll show the finals, yeah. Especially if there's an American in it. But I would assume, given how they've been, like at the World Cups, they've got a whole camera crew there with equipment as good as they have on the PGA Tour, filming the finals, and they live stream the finals. So I'd assume that since they do that at World Cup, they'll live stream the whole competition.
How many countries are going to be in this? Do you know?
There are 32 quota spots.
Okay.
So there will be 32
people
shooting men's trap.
Okay.
That's not that many in the grand scheme of things. No. Like the World Cup we went to in Italy, there were 250 trap shooters. It was the largest World Cup ever.
So the team's the same way, 32 teams?
No. There is I'm not sure how many mixed teams there will be. But if you don't have a man and a woman that qualified for the Olympics in one quotas, then you don't have a mixed team partner. So, like, we're fortunate enough, we got both quotas that we could get in men's and women's. Mm-hmm. So we'll have two mixed team pairs.
Okay.
Some countries might only have one if they've got a quota.
So you're competing against your other team from U.S. event? Maybe.
Yeah. Yep. I'm sure there'll be 8 or 10 teams. Yeah. But, it might not be any more than that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's all cool, man. I hope, wish you the best of luck, and we'll keep up with it for sure.
All right. So I appreciate everything that you've been doing for the sport.
Yeah.
Your podcast is awesome. But I also want to say thank you to everyone out there who's come up and congratulated me and given me their support. Right. It means the world.
Yeah.
Having all that from everyone.
Right. But we wish you the best of luck, and we'll keep up with you, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Derek.